Read sacred scripture this morning from Acts chapter 22. Acts 22. Acts 22 is a record of the defense that Paul made of himself right after he was arrested in Jerusalem. He had returned after his third missionary journey, was arrested, but was then given an opportunity to stand before the mob and to defend himself. And that defense is found here in Acts 22. Paul says, "Men, brothers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at Aliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. I do, Lord. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed and was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said, Heart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. We read the Word of God that far this morning. And on the basis of that passage, and many other passages of God's Word, we have the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Days 26 and 27. This morning we're going to consider all of Lord's Day 26, and then the first two questions and answers of Lord's Day 27. Lord's Day 26, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certain of all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by divine pledge and sign he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Lord's Day begins a lengthy section of that explains the sacraments as means of grace. Generally, the idea of means of grace are the tools or the instruments that God uses to bestow upon us his grace. And here we talk of the official means of grace, the official tools or instruments that Christ has entrusted to his church through which he blesses and strengthens us spiritually. Those means of grace are the preaching of the gospel and the two sacraments. Baptism is a means of grace for us. Christ has instituted this sacrament to be a blessing to his church in the New Testament. At the dawn of the New Testament, as Christ was just about to ascend up into heaven, he said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Giving that command to the disciples, Christ was speaking to the church of the whole New Testament. And giving to the church of the New Testament the sacrament of baptism as a powerful means of grace to us. Baptism is an important means of grace to us. It's not the chief means of grace. The chief means of grace for us is the preaching. And yet baptism does have an important place in our spiritual life. On the one hand, God uses baptism to teach us about our salvation. In that way, God condescends to us. God is mindful of our human weakness and frailty. We're earthly creatures, so dependent upon our earthly senses. So not only does God teach us through the preaching of the gospel something that appeals to our ear, but Jesus Christ adds to that the sacrament of baptism, something that appeals to our other senses, to our sense of sight, to the sense of touch. Baptism doesn't add anything that's not found in the preaching, but what we hear in the preaching is further confirmed, further impressed upon us through the sign of baptism. God's purpose in baptism is not only to teach us, it's also to strengthen our assurance. God speaks to us in the preaching and in that way assures us of our salvation. But God also uses baptism to further strengthen that assurance. Just as I am washed with water, so am I a partaker of Christ. My sins are washed away in His blood. That way, baptism serves as powerful means of grace in our lives. But how often in our lives does our baptism function as a means of grace? How often do you and I think about our baptism? When was the last time we thought about, meditated upon the reality, I am baptized with all that that means for us? Sadly, it's too often the case for you and for me that we rarely think about our baptism. Even when there is a baptism in church, too often our mind is thinking about the young couple that's bringing their baby forward, what the baby's wearing, what the baby's looking like, how cute that is, how nice it is to see the family and God adding to our church a child. And that's not in itself wrong, but we don't at that occasion think about our own baptism and what that means for us. And if we don't think about and meditate upon our baptism, how can our baptism serve as a means of grace to us? Our baptism serves as a means of grace when we remember it, when we meditate upon that reality. In that way, Jesus Christ is pleased to strengthen us in our assurance that we are washed by His blood and Spirit. Your attention to the truth of these Lord's days under the theme, wash by blood and the Spirit. Notice first of all the sign, secondly the seal, and then thirdly the service. God has instituted baptism to be a sign to us. A sign is an earthly picture that points us to some spiritual reality. Something earthly that we can see, that we can touch, that points us to something that we can't see and that we can't touch, some spiritual reality. And the purpose of a sign is especially to teach and to instruct. That idea of teaching comes out in Answer 73. God speaks thus, not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Baptism is first of all a teaching tool of Jesus Christ. Similar to the different things that a teacher might use to impress a lesson upon the students. Teacher is certainly going to lecture to the students. He's going to talk to them and tell them the facts of whatever subject area they're studying. But then the teacher might also pull something up on the smart board, a PowerPoint, or hand out a, a map or a chart, something visual for the children to see. And that serves to confirm, to support the things that the teacher has been saying to the students. Same thing really is true of baptism. God speaks to us in the preaching. And baptism doesn't add anything that's not found in the preaching. But baptism is a kind of visual in order to further impress upon us the truth of the gospel. Baptism is a sign that God intends to teach us, first of all, about our sin. Jesus Christ instituted this sacrament with water. And by using the earthly substance of water, Jesus Christ intends to call to mind that which needs to be cleansed by water. Water serves many functions in our earthly life. One of the important functions of water in life is that it's used as a cleanser, a cleaning agent. That idea is found in the Catechism as well, where we just quoted out of Answer 73, as the filth of the body is purged away by water. And then in Answer 69 at the end, as I am washed externally with water by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. We use water to clean the dirt and the stains from our clothes. We use water to wash away the dirty remains of food from the dishes. A farmer might use water in a power washer to clean out his hog building. We use water daily in a bath or a shower to cleanse away the filth and the dirt and the stink of our bodies. Presence of water implies there's something dirty that needs to be cleansed with that water. And that's what Jesus is intending to teach us in baptism. Baptism is intended to remind us of the filth and the ugliness and the stench of our sins. Sin has that filth, that disgusting presence in our lives. There is the guilt of our sins. Guilt of sin refers to our legal standing before God and our standing as not righteous before Him, disobedient to His law, and therefore deserving of His punishment. That's something that God impresses upon us in our consciences. Even now, as children of God, when we sin against Him, God impresses upon our conscience a sense of guilt, the feeling that we've disobeyed Him, that we're deserving to be declared guilty and deserving, even though God doesn't send it upon us, deserving of His everlasting condemnation. We sin, we have a bad conscience before God. We bear guilt not only for the sins we commit daily, there's a guilt that we bear for the first sin, the original sin, the sin of our first father Adam in the garden. There's an original guilt that we bear for that. Then there is also the power and the pollution of sin in our lives. Sin is a tremendous power, even for us who are children of God. And that power is no longer the dominant power in us. Sin still has a powerful presence in our lives, in our old man of sin. Sin has the power to enslave, to bring into bondage and captivity. What the world may refer to as an addiction to alcohol or an addiction to pornography, the Bible refers to as enslavement. Sin has the power to enslave and to bring into bondage. Sin also has a polluting effect. Sin makes us filthy, dirty, stinking. Sin spreads its filthy tentacles into every part of our being. Sin corrupts and pollutes our minds and our thoughts. Sin spreads and pollutes our heart and our desires. Sin touches and pollutes our words and our actions. Every part of our being is corrupted with the filth and the stench of sin. Baptism is intended to remind us of that. It comes out of our baptism form. Baptism form says that the purpose of baptism is first of all to admonish us to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without or outside of ourselves. Purpose of baptism, first of all, is to make us loathe our sinful nature, to humble us before God in the recognition of how great our sin and depravity is. Something that the Apostle Paul was deeply aware of as he confesses openly before this mob. He was a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ. He was headed on his way to Damascus to persecute the church there. He had the blood of Stephen, the martyr, on his hands. Apostle Paul was brought to loathe and to humble himself before God. Baptism has that purpose in our lives as well. The purpose is not merely to beat us down, to make us feel bad about ourselves, and finally to drive us down into dark depression. But the purpose of this is in order to make us turn outside of ourselves, not to look to self for salvation, but to look without to Jesus Christ for our salvation. As we come to know our sins and miseries more, come to appreciate more and more the great salvation we have in Jesus Christ. As we remember our baptisms this morning, God's purpose in that is to remind us of our sins, of the filth of our depravity, to bring us to loathe and to humble ourselves before God. That's not the only purpose of God in baptism. That's not even the main purpose in baptism. God intends baptism to be a sign, especially to teach us about our salvation. The Lord does that through a very clear, very easy to understand picture. Christ has instituted baptism with water. And that water may imply something that's filthy and dirty, but the main picture with that water is that it's used to wash and it's used to make something clean. And Jesus intends through that to teach us about our salvation, how through His blood and His Spirit we are washed. Washed from the filth, pollution of our sins. That salvation Jesus teaches us about in baptism has especially two aspects. And those two aspects of our salvation correspond to the two main aspects of sin, sin's guilt and sin's pollution. Baptism is a sign that teaches us, first of all, about our salvation as a washing from the guilt of our sin. That's described for us in the first part of answer 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross. Our baptism points us to Christ and the blood that he shed for us on the cross. And by the shedding of his blood on the cross, Jesus Christ has dealt conclusively with the guilt of our sins. Jesus Christ came willingly and took upon himself our guilt, the guilt of all of his chosen people, so that the guilt for our sins was taken from our record and placed upon Christ's record. So that as Christ stood before God the judge, he was guilty with the guilt of our sins. Being guilty before God with our sins, Christ willingly endured our punishment. He endured God's wrath poured out upon him. He endured what it felt like to be forsaken by the Father. He endured all of the agonies of hell and the curse. And he did so to make full payment for our sins, to atone with a perfect atonement for the guilt of his church, and therefore to deal conclusively with that guilt and to remove that guilt from us. And that's something that Jesus Christ applies to us now. Christ applies the power of his blood and cross to us by his Spirit. It's not that the blood of Christ and the Spirit of Christ are two totally separate things by which we're washed. The blood of Jesus Christ is applied to us by the Spirit. Now in our lifetime, as the Spirit works within us to regenerate us, as the Spirit works within us faith and makes us to believe, as the Spirit applies to us the gospel all our life long, we're assured that Christ has removed our guilt from us and merited for us righteousness. That's something that's applied to us, something that we're reminded of as we're justified again and again all our life long. God deals with the bad conscience that we have. So we sin against God and we have a conscience that pricks us. We confess those sins before God and God justifies us. He reminds us, he assures us of what Christ has done in our place, so that we stand before him with a good conscience in the righteousness of Christ our Savior. Baptism is a reminder of that. Reminder that by the blood of Jesus Christ, our guilt has been removed and washed away. In the second place, our baptism is a picture of salvation as the washing away of the power and the pollution of sin. That comes out in the second half of answer 70. And also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Baptism is a picture of our regeneration, of the work of the Holy Spirit within us, dethroning the power of sin. As we're conceived and born, we're dead in sin. Sin sits on the throne of our heart and rules and dominates in us. But as we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit, that power of sin is dethroned. It's not completely gone. We still have that old man of sin, but that old man doesn't rule in us. Now Jesus Christ sits on the throne of our hearts. The new man, the new life in Christ is the power that dominates in us. It's a fundamental removal of the power of sin in us. And the Holy Spirit, having begun that work in us, continues that work all our life long. Spirit is at work within us, removing the power of sin, putting to death that old man. More and more sanctifying us, delivering us from sin's filth and pollution, making us more and more holy and pure as God is holy. You see the evidence of that work of the Spirit in us. The evidence of the work of the Spirit to sanctify us is that more and more we die to self and we die to sin. More and more that old man is crucified. There's a hatred for sin that's greater, a sorrow for sin that's deeper. The evidence of the Spirit's work is a fleeing from sin and a fighting against sin. The evidence of the Spirit's work within us is that more and more we live holy and unblameable lives. More and more there's a desire in us to show our thanksgiving to God by serving Him. With our mind and our thoughts, with our heart and our desire, with our words, with our actions. More and more, the Spirit works within us gratitude that is revealed in our lives in good works, the glory of our God. Baptism is a picture of that. It's a reminder of the Spirit's work within us to deliver us from that pollution and power of sin. That way, baptism is an important means of grace in our life. It's a picture that we so easily understand. Something that further impresses upon our minds what we hear in the gospel. Wonderful work of salvation in Jesus Christ. This is something that even the small children can understand. Little children, when you go home and mom and dad ask you, what does baptism mean? What did the minister talk about this morning in the sermon? You can understand that and you can say that. Just as I take a bath and I'm washed with water, so are we washed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism is not just a sign. It's not just a picture to help teach us something. It is that. But it's also a seal. The seal has the idea of giving assurance. The purpose of God in baptism is not only to teach us something, but to assure us of something. That idea of assurance comes out in the second half of answer 73. First part of that answer talked about a sign teaching. Now the emphasis on the second half is on assurance. But especially that by this divine pledge and sign, He may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Apostle Paul speaks of baptism in verse 16, where he repeats the words of Ananias to him, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Power of baptism is not itself washes away sin. Heidelberg Catechism in the first part of Lord's Day 27 makes that clear. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is saying in this passage. That to so impress that upon our soul that we know that and are assured of that personally. It's the idea of a seal itself. It was a special ring that they would use to make a wax impression upon a paper or a document. And the purpose of this seal of the king on that document was to make sure everyone knew it was genuine, it was authentic, it was valid. It wasn't a counterfeit, it wasn't the decree of some imposter, but it was the king himself. We use seals in much the same way today. There are seals on our currency, seals in our money to show this isn't counterfeit. It's real, it's authentic, it's valid. Purpose is to give assurance. Baptism has that purpose. Baptism is a seal of God to us. Seal to us the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The purpose of God is that we know and that we be assured of our salvation. Not just that we're taught about salvation, but the purpose is to impress this upon our own hearts. This isn't just for others generally, this is for me personally. The purpose of God in baptism is to seal to us the work of Jesus Christ. To seal to us, to assure us that Christ shed His blood for me. That my sins are washed away. Purpose of God in baptism is to seal to us the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in me to deliver me from the power and the pollution of sin, to sanctify me. The purpose of God in baptism is to seal to us the work of God our Father. To assure us that God has established His covenant of grace with us. That He will forever maintain that covenant with us. To assure us of His fatherly love and care for us. To change the figure a bit, baptism serves then like a wedding ring that a husband gives to his wife as an assurance of his faithfulness and his love and the vows that he's spoken to her that day. I want to change the figure again. Baptism is like the kiss of marriage. The husband and the wife share with one another as an expression of their love for each other. Baptism is God's kiss to His church to assure us of His love for us and His faithfulness to us in His covenant. It's God's purpose in our baptism. God's purpose in your baptism and in my baptism is to strengthen the assurance of our salvation. That you and I know that personally. We need that. We need that assurance because all the times we're tempted to doubt. I see the filth, the stench, the pollution of sin. And if I look only at my life and see only sin, then I'm tempted to doubt. How could God ever love me? How could I ever have forgiveness for all of these horrible sins that I've committed? Tempted to doubt when God sends trials into our lives. Trials that so weigh upon us that we feel crushed. We feel like we're drowning. We feel like we can hardly breathe under the weight of the sorrow God has put into our life. We're tempted to question God. God is a God who's sovereign and powerful, and He's a God who loves me. Why would He put this in my life? Tempted to doubt because of the temptations of the devil, the world. We need assurance. We need to be strengthened in that assurance. Baptism serves that. Not only the preaching of the gospel that strengthens our assurance, but baptism with that, to strengthen us in the assurance that we belong to God as His beloved children. We are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever God sends upon me in this life, He does in love. He works for my good. Baptism serves that important purpose in our lives. Whenever Martin Luther was tempted to doubt, and he doubted often, he would write down on a piece of paper in Latin, "Baptizitus sum," I am baptized. He would remember his baptism, and in that way it would serve as a means of grace to him, to strengthen him in his assurance and to remove his doubts. Beloved, remember your baptism when you're tempted to doubt, as we all are at times. Say it to yourself, write it on a piece of paper, I am baptized. Just as I've been washed with water, so I am washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood covers the guilt of all of my sins. His Spirit strengthens me. More and more make me holy. Remember your baptism. That way the Holy Spirit uses baptism to strengthen our faith. Strengthen our assurance. But that's something, of course, that's only for the elect. Baptism is a seal and a means of grace only for the elect. An unbeliever, a reprobate, may be able to understand the picture that's found in baptism. Understand that washing with water is a picture of washing with the blood of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't serve as a seal to him, as a means of grace. And that way, baptism is the same as the preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel goes forth with a twofold effect. God's purpose in the preaching is to feed and nourish and strengthen the faith of the elect. But there may also be reprobate who come under the preaching of the gospel. God has a purpose with the preaching for them too, to harden in sin and to leave further without excuse. Baptism has that same twofold effect. Baptism is a means of grace to the elect child of God, that as he looks back on his baptism, he is strengthened in his assurance. Understand? Not all children of believers are elect. God is pleased to gather His elect children from amongst our physical children. And we rear them with the view toward them and the way of dealing with them as covenant children. Be upon them until they come to the years of discretion, and that for the well-being of the elect children amongst our children, for the strengthening of their faith. The sad reality, confirmed both by the Scripture and by our own hard experience, is that when the children come to the years of discretion, not all of them reveal themselves to be children of God. Their baptism is not a means of grace to the reprobate. Baptism serves only to harden them in sin and leave them further without excuse. For the elect, baptism is a means of grace, so that when we think about our baptism, when we hear a sermon like this morning about baptism, and when, God willing, again in a few weeks, covenant child comes forward to be baptized, we don't think just about how beautiful this is, but we remember our own baptism and what that means for us who are washed by the blood and Spirit of Christ. Baptism is also intended by God to remind us of how we're called to serve Him in gratitude. Something that our baptism form speaks of. It speaks of the fact that in all covenants there are contained two parts. And we have a part in God's covenant, not doing something to get into the covenant, not doing something to stay in the covenant, but as those who are God's covenant children, we serve Him in gratitude. We put our trust in Him. We look to Him for all that we need, and we serve Him in a life of grateful obedience. And the Belgic Confession speaks of that as well in Article 34, when it says that by baptism we are received into the Church of God and separated from all other people and strange religions, that we may wholly belong to Him whose ensign and banner we bear. Baptism is a banner that we bear. The idea of that comes again from years and years ago when armies would go out to fight. And they'd have a banner bearer, someone who would go forward and hold up the flag of that king or that country as a reminder to all of the army, this is what we're fighting for, this is what we stand for. That's what our baptism is. We can't see it. There's no literal flag that flies over top of our heads. Our baptism is a banner. Because remembering our baptism, we live holy, thankful lives before God. And that reveals itself in the world around us. So that as we go about our daily life, it's as if there's this banner that's flying over our heads, and on that banner is writ the sign of Jesus Christ. He's the King that I serve. I bear His mark upon my head. So we remember our baptism. We remember also the calling we have before God. Young people, that's a reminder to you. Maybe your parents say that to you before you go out on a Friday night. Remember, you're baptized. You bear the mark of Jesus Christ. You don't belong to the world. And so don't go and live like the world. Don't go and do the things that the world does. Show yourself to be baptized as a child of God. It's a reminder to every one of us as we go about our life's calling in the midst of this world. As we interact with co-workers and neighbors, as we live in our own homes and families, we remember the banner that we bear of Jesus Christ, and in gratitude for the washing in His blood, we live in obedience to Him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been baptized. Remember your baptism. Be assured that you are washed by the blood and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Go forward in thankful, obedient service to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, thankful to Thee for the precious gift of our baptism. Cause that to serve as a means of grace to us all our life long. Assure us, strengthen us in our faith so that we know that we belong to Thee. Strengthen us also, Father, to live to Thee. To serve Thee thankfully, to devote our lives in every aspect to bringing praise and honor to Thee. Father, forgive us of our sins, and now, through Thy Word, assure us of that forgiveness. Strengthen us to go forward strong in Thy might and in the service of Jesus Christ. In His name alone do we pray. Amen.